lot of possible outcomes to what happened yesterday on Conference Championship Sunday. Any of the teams could have beaten any of the other teams. We know it's going to be the Bucks and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Gambo, I don't know if either one of us would have expected devoting time on today's show, which we're about to do right now, to the future of Aaron Rodgers and whether he just played his last game as a member of the Green Bay Packers. But, man, that came up quick after Aaron Rodgers on his video teleconference after the game dropped this little nugget on everybody yesterday about how uncertain his future is.
A lot of guys' futures that are uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
That comment sparked a firestorm yesterday.
Yeah, you know, man. It did. I'm on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel right now, although I can't read any of their articles because they want me to subscribe for 3 months. But Arizonasports.com is free, baby, free. And the headlines, I can read the headlines. Aaron Rodgers, I'll always be thankful for the season. And then a columnist, was Rodgers just gutted or hinting at a goodbye? And then they've got Brett Favre, no way Packers would risk losing Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, there's, you know, I think, you know, my gut feeling is this. You lose a game like that, it's devastating. You're one win from the Super Bowl, you're at home, you're expected to win, you lose. And, you know, it's such a downer, right? I mean, it's hard. Like, how do you get yourself up again? You know, so that's what my initial thought is, simply that's in the moment, the disappointment, the, you know, can I get it done here? The questioning of that, can I win here? I haven't won here in forever. Am I better off somewhere else? I mean, when push comes to shove, you go back and you realize that this is the spot where, you know, you had the best chance to win. I mean, you were one game away from going to the Super Bowl. I mean, where else are you going to go where you could basically have that opportunity? So that's what I think. Initially, he's just, you know, the emotions just overwhelmed him.
Yeah, and that is one option. And that's a very strong option. That's a very strong possibility. There's another option, and it's funny. I heard the comments, and it took me a while to think about it this way, but I thought about a conversation that you and I had last week about Patrick Peterson. I remember he was on that All Things Covered podcast, and when he was on there, he was asked about, you know, where he wants to go, and he goes, man, I would love to play for Todd Bowles again, right? And we talked about it in the moment. Was he just talking? You know, was he just wishing out loud, or was he planting a seed? And there are some people who believe legit that Aaron Rodgers was planting a seed yesterday, either to let everybody know he wants out, or to let everybody with Green Bay know, you guys better do a better job of putting talent around me because my career here is almost done. And if you don't do something better to put better talent around me, I'm going to ask for a trade. I'm going to want to leave. I'm not going to want to be here. And when I do, you're not going to have any choice but to get rid of me. So let's not let it get to that point. Do something better than drafting my replacement in the first round of the NFL draft. Go get me some receivers. Go get me a tackle. Go get me something that can help me now, not something that's going to help you 4 years from now after I'm gone. This might have been a power play by him to get them to do what he wants.
Yeah, no one knows exactly what Rodgers meant. It's just
created
this firestorm of speculation, but nobody knows. What did he mean by that? What does Aaron Rodgers mean? Does he want to leave? Is he not happy in Green? I mean, I never thought Brady would leave the Patriots ever.
Right.
And he did, right. And he's in the Super Bowl with the Bucks. I mean, does that go through your mind too, man? Maybe I'm not as appreciated here. I mean, they drafted, I could have used a cornerback that was better than this King guy in the first round instead of a backup quarterback, you know?
Right.
I mean, he may be still pissed off that they wasted a first-round draft pick. He's 37. He still throws the ball great. He's got a few years left, but, I mean, it's just so much disappointment. That post-game press conference, yeah, I mean, a firestorm right there. And everybody right now is questioning, what did he mean? Where's he going to go? Does he want to leave Green Bay?
And you bring up such a good point about Brady leaving New England, and I think that should be the cautionary tale for everybody, for any diehard Packers fan out there listening, and I know there are a bunch of them out there who are. Hey, man, if it can happen there to him and them, it can happen to you. If it can happen to the Patriots and Tom Brady and all the success he had there, don't think for a second that it can't happen to you. And two schools of thought here, all right? School of thought number one is, man, if they traded him in the offseason, it's like a $31 million cap hit. They would never, ever do that. Well, I'm sure they wouldn't want to do that, but if Aaron Rodgers came out and said, trade me or I'm not playing here, they might not have much of a choice. He would be able to own that conversation. And then the flip side of that coin is exactly what you said a second ago with the Brady point. Don't take Aaron Rodgers lightly on this one. Don't think that just because it's a huge cap hit that he can't or won't do something like that. I think it's probably just a little bit of a power play. I mean, look at the Bucs. Look at the team they lost to yesterday. Man, they went out and got Tom Brady, Gronk, and Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette, and they drafted a tackle in the first round who was great for them. Tristan Wirfs was one of the best in the NFL, his rookie. They did everything in the name of winning now. What did the Packers do? They traded up to take Rodgers' replacement out of Utah State. You can see why maybe after a game like that, he'd be kind of looking at them like, man, why don't you love me like that? You know, why don't you love me the way they love Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? What did I ever do to you to not get the love that Tom Brady, who hasn't even been there 6 months, why does he get all the love there and you draft my replacement instead of somebody who can help us this year? I could see why he might be a little pissed.
But, I mean, if I'm Green Bay, man, I'm not going to trade him. I'm not going to take a $30 million, $31 million. I got a chance to win. And if I'm Rodgers, I probably want a retiring Green Bay. You know, I'm a legend. You're a legend there. I mean, you are. I mean, Favre's a legend there. He still left and went. He went to go play for the Jets. So,
and then the Vikings. Oh, hell.
And then the Vikings.
He didn't just leave
which
made
it even
worse.
He went to
play for the division rival. I know, right?
Yeah. Look. But he didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't do anything with the Jets or the Vikings.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Rodgers is still at the top of his game. I just think it's, you know, my initial thought is, man, it's just so much disappointment when you lose at home like that. You're one win away, you know, from going to the Super Bowl, and there's just so much disappointment that you say things and you haven't really thought it through. You know, that's why I liked, you know, when people like, you know, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to think about this, okay, you know, I need time. Yeah, you give yourself some time, man. I know they put a microphone in front of your face 30 minutes later, but give yourself some time before you say anything ridiculous. Give yourself some time to figure out if this is what, you know, what you really want to do.
Adam Schefter this morning on Get Up was talking purely hypothetically here. He's not reporting this. He's just kind of thinking out loud about what Aaron Rodgers did yesterday and said, look, if he really wanted to, he could force his way out. And he mentioned two teams in particular that Cardinal fans are not going to want to hear.
He himself said last week that his future was a beautiful mystery. Those are the words that he used, a beautiful mystery. We know that he was not particularly enthralled with the team's selection of Jordan Love. We know that he's at the point of his career where clearly he's frustrated with these playoff defeats. Now, again, let's get ahead of ourselves. He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for 3 more seasons. So they control him for 3 more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there. And I want to be traded. And I want to be traded, let's just say, to Southern California, where I own a home, 20 minutes from the Rams facility.
Oh, boy.
Where I want to be traded to the Bay Area, where my football career started.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's so much speculation right now.
I know.
It's just so much speculation. It's, you know, again, immediately after the game to try to figure out, you know, what's on his mind, man. Let's wait a week and let's see if he says, because if he wants out, man, I mean, we got Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson. This is going to be the craziest offseason in the freaking world to see where these quarterbacks are going to go.
It would be the craziest offseason in the world if those three
Stafford,
guys
Watson, Rodgers, all available, right?
Yeah, crazy.
It would be.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, that wasn't the only controversial part of yesterday's game in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur's decision. Oh, what are you doing? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
With that stop, the field goal try now by Crosby of 26. Instead of going for it here on fourth and goal, Crosby makes this a five-point game again.
Really surprised by that decision, Joe. I thought that they would go for it on fourth down. I'm just not sure with Tom Brady that they will get another shot at it.
And that's now the question.
Trey Aikman, so calm, level-headed.
I know. I feel like you could lose your
really
mind
sure
over that.
It's the right decision there, you know? Like if Troy Aikman were, you know, describing, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some, like, cataclysmic event, he would just be so calm about it. You know, I don't really know if storming the castle is really the right call here, Joe. I really think everybody should just, I think we need to do something else here. He was just so calm about it, right? People on social media were losing their minds about that yesterday. What the hell?
You know, you need a touchdown either way, right? You're down 31-23. So you need a touchdown and an extra point. Well, you kick a field goal. It's not like you set yourself up to just need another field goal. You still need a touchdown. Now, you may not need the extra point, and you'll get the win instead of the tie. But either way, you got to score a touchdown. You're right. It just didn't make any sense. You're thinking, you really want to give the ball back to Tom Brady? And I know he's had the three interceptions, but it's Tom Brady at the end of a game. Like, and all he needs is a couple of first downs. You're not going to get the ball back. You're not going to get it back. So I thought it was an extremely dumb decision. It made absolutely no sense to me or anybody else that was watching it, because the right play, obviously, is to go for the touchdown with Aaron Rodgers and try to tie that game up.
Yeah, the two tweets that I screenshotted in the moment, somebody tweeted out, "With the season in doubt, LaFleur has chosen to trust Mike Pettine's defense over Aaron Rodgers." That was one. And number two, actually suggested, and I wish I knew who tweeted this out, I can't remember who it was, actually tweeted out that Aaron Rodgers should override the coach. Just override him. Nope. Forget it. I'm out here on the field. We're going to go for it on fourth down. I don't care what you think.
I'm not leaving.
We're going to stay. Well, I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay on this field.
I'm not leaving the field.
We're going to run a play on fourth down. I don't care about you. I don't care that you're the coach. I'm refusing the order. I will not walk off this field. Like, somebody actually suggested that yesterday. That's how. And the thing about it is, and we talked about this game earlier in the show, okay? Was that an important decision? Yes, it was a very important decision. Was that more important to the outcome of that game than the touchdown they allowed to Scotty Miller at the end of the first half? Was that more important to that game than Aaron Jones's fumble that set up the touchdown at the beginning of the second half? Or the fact that you only got 6 points off of three Brady interceptions in the second half? I mean, again, it's a big deal. But, man, there were a lot of things that happened over the course of that game that decided the outcome of that game, and it wasn't just the decision to kick a 26-yard field goal on fourth and goal and not go for it. But you're right. You have to go for it there. You have to.
Yeah. Now, the models, I don't know if you saw this, and I really hate these things. I really hate them.
Then why are you citing them?
Because they're in every ESPN article that they do now. According to ESPN's win probability model, the Packers had a 10% chance of winning by going for it on fourth down and a 9.5% chance of winning by kicking a field goal. So they basically say there's no difference. The model also suggested that the Packers needed a 21% chance of converting to justify going for the touchdown there, with a league average conversion rate in that spot at 23%. You got the number one offense in the NFL. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Devontae Adams. I mean, I want to lose that way. I don't want to lose with Tom Brady on the field. I want to lose with Aaron Rodgers trying to make a play. And I think Rodgers had said something about, hey, if I knew, you know, if I thought it was four down territory, if I knew, maybe the third down play would have been different. I mean, I'm not really sure. But there's 2 minutes and 9 seconds left. LaFleur is thinking, okay, you kick off. I get stop the clock, and then I'll get the 2 minute warning. And then I'll stop the clock again. And if I get a three and out, I get the ball back with a minute and a half left. And I score a touchdown, I win the game. I mean, that's what he's thinking. But that took everything going right for them. And instead, you know, they get 9 yards on first down. Fournette runs for a first down on second down. And in the pass interference by King, it's just, You needed everything to go right on a perfect three and out against Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, like a lot of other teams in this league, they're not just going to run the ball three times and make you waste your timeouts. They're going to go end the game. Because Tom Brady is not going to put the game in the hands of his defense. He's going to put the game in the hands of him, and which is why he threw that pass and why he got the pass interference penalty.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not just a Brady thing. That's a Bruce Arians thing. I mean, that's a we make fun of it, but no risk it, no biscuit. I mean, that's, you know, that's what no risk it, no biscuit is all about. That's why he went for it on fourth down to set up the Scotty Miller touchdown at the end of the first half. No risk it, no biscuit. We got the ball back. I'm going to try to get a first down or two, because if I do, I don't even give Aaron Rodgers the chance to beat me. No risk it, no biscuit. It's just a different mindset. Yes, and you saw it in both games. You saw Sean McDermott of the Bills kicking field goals when he needed touchdowns. You saw Matt LaFleur kicking field goals when he needed touchdowns. Now, a couple of things you mentioned about that third down. Okay, number one, I read the same thing you did about the probability and all that.
Yeah, and I don't buy any part of it. I think it's a crock.
I read the part of the story where Rodgers said that the play call was his, right? He was allowed to basically pick the play on third down, right?
Yes.
If you're going to give your quarterback that much latitude, shouldn't you tell him it's three down territory and not four down territory? Shouldn't you, as the head coach, hey, just to let you know, if you don't get this, we're kicking the field goal. Shouldn't Rodgers have known that before? Like, shouldn't LaFleur have communicated that to Rodgers? I'm not saying Rodgers would have chosen a different play, but I would think you'd want to share that with him before he calls the play on third down, just so he has all the information in front of him to make the most educated decision he can. Now, that's number one. Number two, why isn't Aaron Rodgers running it on third down? Do you see all that space he had to his right?
Twice he had all that space. I sent something, you know, I sent something to my friends because I almost couldn't believe it. And to me, it was the reason why you would have never thought that they were going to kick a field goal is because they, with 3 minutes and 7 seconds left, and I went back and I put this on my phone. They completed a pass for 9 yards, and it was a little bit over 3 minutes left. And they get up to the line of scrimmage and 259, 258, 257. 256, 255, and you're sitting there, it's like third and one, and it's 25 seconds off the play clock, 23 seconds off the play clock, 20 seconds off the play clock. It's third and one, and they don't snap the ball. Get this. They don't snap the ball until there's 10. I'm watching it right now. 7 seconds left on the play clock. If you weren't good, like, why would you waste 35 seconds?
Right.
Why would you waste 30 seconds? It makes no sense. If you were going to play for a field goal and then kick it, you would preserve more time. You would have preserved more time. You wouldn't have got up to the line of scrimmage on a third and one and sat there and taken 30-something seconds off the clock before you snapped the ball. Those 30 seconds are completely precious. 3:07 when they ran that play. 3:07 when they ran it. And I'm telling you, it was like 40 seconds later, they ran the next play. It was second and 10. They completed a 9-yard pass. And then they didn't run another play until like 35 seconds were off the clock. This, like, you have to be thinking that you're going for a touchdown there, don't you?
Sure. You do. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the last series.
You know, I felt great about the third down call. We actually ran it earlier in the game. Same play that Tate caught out of the end zone. And looking at it back, it looked like he ended up crossing face late and may have been back across my body an opportunity. I felt like I had a chance maybe to run it, but I felt like the guy kind of closing on me. Based on the call, Maddie allowed me to call that third down play. If I had known we were going to kick it, if we didn't get it, you know, maybe something else would have been maybe gone with some sort of, crossing routes maybe there instead. But I thought maybe we were going to have four chances to get it.
I thought maybe we were going to have four chances to get it. I assumed we were in four down territory. If you're not in four down territory, if your quarterback and your head coach aren't even on the same page about whether you're in four down territory or not, that's a fundamental problem in and of itself, isn't it?
Sure.
Right? Don't they all kind of have to be aware, hey, by the way, this is four down territory, this is not four down territory, right? That's kind of got to be communicated at some point during that series.
Bernsey, the 9-yard gain that set up third and one, that he caught the ball, went down to the ground. That play was over at 3 minutes. They didn't run another play until 2:27. They let 33 seconds go off the clock to go for one play. You have to. That gives you every indication that you're playing for a touchdown, that you're not playing for a field goal and trying to get the ball back, because you just wasted 33 more precious seconds. I mean, that's where I'm mad at LaFleur. It's not the decision time. You go back a little bit, and with 2 minutes and 27 seconds left, they snapped the ball on third and one. They could have snapped the ball earlier. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's no reason to waste 33 seconds on that play.
What a mess. When we come back, even though they made major upgrades this offseason, it's very clear this is a better roster than last year. Is this Suns team doomed to repeat what happened last year? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Phoenix Suns not in action again until Wednesday. This was earlier today. Now, this is Monty talking about Devin Booker's hamstring injury from Friday night. Kept him out of Saturday's game.
As far as Book is concerned, we don't know just yet. He was holding his hamstring. He may have slightly strained it, but I don't even want to say slight. We don't know. I know it was a hamstring type injury.
Yeah, that was on Friday night when he said that he didn't provide an update today, so we probably won't hear anything about Devin Booker until tomorrow at some point when the injury report comes out. But now at 8-7, Gambo, a Phoenix Suns basketball team, and I remember we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, all right? We were, okay, Suns got off to a hot start last year. Suns got off to a hot start this year.
They were 8-7 last year.
Yeah, tell me why it's going to be different. Yep. Yeah, last year they were 7-4. And then they turned out to be 8-7.
Yep.
This year they were 6-2. And now once again, they're 8-7. I'm going to ask you the question again. Is this year's team better situated to avoid what happened last year, or is it happening all over again?
I believe they are. I believe they are. The West is still extremely tough. But I believe they're better than last year. Now you look at last year and those, when they were 8-7, their losses were, you know, they lost to Denver, they lost to Miami, good team, they lost to the Lakers, good team, they lost to Boston, good team, New Orleans, decent team, and then one loss to Sacramento, and that got them to 8-7. Their wins, Sacramento, but they beat the Clippers, Golden State, Memphis, Philly, Brooklyn. I think this team is better because I think that this Suns team is better. I think they're a better basketball team. You know, last year there was some tough losing streak. You got to remember, right after they were 8-7, they had a 3-game losing streak. Okay, and you know, then you know, now you're 8-10, and then a little bit later they started this incredible, was it 8-game losing streak, and 8-7 went to 11-20, and it looked like the season was over. Right, took a great run in a bubble to make it close. But they were 11-20 after 31. Burns, I'm not expecting that with this team. This team, I don't think that this team's going to have those type of losing streaks, and I think they're very capable of a winning streak. But I am disappointed in 8-7, so I don't want to sugarcoat that. I was hoping after the start that they had that they would be better off, but this team blew some games that they absolutely should have won.
Yeah, the Detroit game comes to mind. The Wizards
Washington
game, they weren't competitive. Yeah, I mean, that was a game that they were done by the halfway through the second quarter. The Memphis game, that's a game they should have won. I think they should have won one of these two games against the Nuggets. Yeah, there have been too many of these games. And I look, fundamentally, I agree with you. This year's team between, you know, last year's team didn't have Ayton at the start. Now they do. He's playing very well. Chris Paul, and I want to thank our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun because they were the ones who kind of sparked this conversation with a story they wrote. They asked the question, are the Suns a retread of last year's team? And their conclusion was no, because Ayton is better than Baines. Paul is better than Rubio. This version of Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson are better than last year's versions of Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. But a couple of things they point out. That, okay, number one, Kelly Oubre was more consistent a year ago than Jay Crowder is now. And most importantly, perhaps, that Devin Booker a year ago was better than Devin Booker is right now. For whatever reason, that version of Booker has been better than this year's version of Devin Booker.
Cameron Payne for a full season instead of Cameron Payne for just a bubble?
better.
You know, Monty, his second year with the Suns instead of the first year.
Better
depth with Galloway and Etuan Moore and, last
Javon
year,
Carter and, yep, all that stuff.
I mean, yes. We had Carter last year. What they're right on is this. Last year's Booker was better than this year's Booker so far, okay? That's true. And I'll give you a slight edge to Kelly Oubre over Jay Crowder. I'll give you that slight edge. But everything else that you're pointing out here that they pointed out, McHale's better than last year. Cameron Johnson's better than last year. Paul's better than Rubio. Ayton's better than the Ayton of last year. I mean, all of those things are factors in why I don't think that this team – see, this team, to me, isn't going to go through that losing streak that last year's team went through. Last year's team went through some losing streaks. So remember when I got to 11-20, what did I say that was? A seven-game losing streak?
Seven or eight. I think it was eight.
One,
eight.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Eight-game losing streak. Come on, man. This team's not going to have an eight-game losing streak. They're too good. They're not going to have an eight-game losing streak. Chris Paul won't let it. Again, disappointed. I think that they should be better. Because they were second in the West. And now what are they, seventh?
I haven't even looked.
I think they're seventh. I'm looking right now. They're seventh in the West.
Okay.
They were second. Now, the difference between first place and seventh place is four games. But, you know, when they got off to that really good start, you know, we were talking top four seed in the West. And now you're like, ooh, they're the seventh seed, and they're tied with San Antonio, and Dallas is only a half game behind them, and Golden State's only a half game behind them. And now you start to like, ooh, boy, okay. You know, it's tight. It's tight.
Are you looking at the standings right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me where they would be if they had three more wins and three less losses. Where would they be in the West?
11-4,
okay.
They would be a half a game behind the Jazz for the third best record. The Jazz being 12-4, the Suns would be 11-4, so a game in hand, and they would be one full game off the best record in the NBA, just one game.
Here's the reason why I asked that. I think that, and we're going to go into more detail about this in a little bit, but I do think one of the details behind this team and their struggles, it isn't so much that the roster is less talented than it was a year ago, because you and I both agree. This year's roster is much, much better than it was a year ago. The way they're finishing these basketball games in the fourth quarter, and the reason I specifically focused on three, the way the Pistons game ended, the way the Memphis game ended, and the way the Nuggets game ended on Friday night, okay, were three games that if they had just finished better in the fourth quarter. And this team has really, really struggled in the fourth quarter, badly. I mean, like one of the worst teams in the league in terms of their fourth quarter productivity. If they just finish these games that they should be winning, now you are a seventh place team and now you're a third place team. Now you're living up to, you know, last year's low bar, and instead you're trying to accomplish what the bar was set for this year. I mean, it's the margin is that slim, and I get it. It's tough to finish these games. I just would have thought with Paul and Booker on the floor, they would have been in a much better position to finish these games, and that has been their real downfall so far this year. That's what's in my mind. That's what separated them. They struggle in the fourth quarter of these games, and it has cost them some wins big time.
Yeah, and you're hoping, right, and what you're hoping for is you'll be like, okay, this is the growing period, trying to figure out who needs to be where and how to play with each other and all of that stuff, but that can't last too long. Like, that's got to be, you know, that's 15 to 20 games. That's now. You're at 15 games now. By 20 games, that has to be figured out. Like, you got to find a way to close these games out at the end. And, you know, that's Chris Paul's got to do that. Monty's got to do that. But that can't continue to 30 games and 40. You're only playing 72. And who knows if you're even playing 72. So that's not something that can continue. Like, you've got to figure that out quickly, how to finish teams off in these games. Listen, most games in the NBA are going to be close. They're going to come down to the fourth quarter. Most games are. And, you know, the good teams find a way to win those games, especially against bad teams. The Suns have lost too many games to bad teams.
They've lost too many games to bad teams, and they've done it with their inability to play in the fourth quarter, and they've done it through Devin. And I hate to make this about Devin Booker, all about Devin Booker, but he played very well, I thought, on Friday night until he got hurt, especially in the first half. He was balling, absolutely balling. But there's a question about, you know, why this year has been a step back for him. And I don't know if it's just adjusting to Chris Paul, the fact that he's sharing a backcourt with a future Hall of Famer and he's never had that kind of talent around him. I don't know. But Devin Booker, you know, it would help if he started playing like the Devin Booker we were seeing in the bubble and all of last year, as opposed to the version we've got this year. The version this year has been fine, just not the version we've grown accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, this is not an all-star player. The way he's playing, he said that's not an all-star player. But he also went from being a guy that had to do everything by himself to now a guy saying, okay, you know, I've got to delegate. Like, I've got to let these other guys, because these guys are capable. There's going to be times I need these guys to pick me up because I'm doubled and I'm trapped. And for years, you've been waiting for that. You've been waiting for Devin Booker to have the help, you know, that he needed to win games. And now that you have it and he's not playing as well, it's, you know, it's hard to ask for Devin Booker to give you the exact same input, you know, and have all these other players just step up, because he has to defer a little bit for these guys to get better and help.
We have already mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Two other big-name quarterbacks might have just hit the market over the weekend. Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson. Where are they going to play, and will they call the NFC West their home? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dave Burns.
Oh!
John Gambadoro.
We were watching The Karate Kid this weekend, the original.
Okay.
Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
My wife comes out with a basket of laundry. She goes, show me, fold the towels.
So did you?
Did you?
Yes, damn right. I did every single one of them.
Gambo son, the master of the fluff and fold.
Show me, sand the floor.
That's well done her part. Man,
I have not.
Show me, fold the towels.
I have nothing that happened to me this weekend that even remotely comes close to that. Gambo, congratulations. You get the trophy.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on
that's
98.7
so awesome.
FM. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
JV.
That was great, JV.
The dude did it.
Well, I swear, that's JV. An absolutely true story. Watching The Karate Kid last week, and that scene comes on. Show me paint the fence. Show me wax the car. Show me sand the floor.
Over the weekend. Happy birthday to JV.
That's right. That's right. It was his birthday.
Yeah, it was his birthday over the weekend. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Show me wash the fold the towels.
Fold the towels.
Yeah.
I don't know what self-defense skills you get from folding a towel, but I'm sure Mr. Miyagi would have come up with something.
Yeah,
I'm sure there would have been something.
The
that
wrath
would have
of Chelsea.
Daniel
I avoid
from,
the wrath of
that's
Chelsea.
True. That is a good defense mechanism right there. Do what she tells you to do. Otherwise, God help you. God help you otherwise.
Yes.
Fair. Very fair. The quarterback market, whether Aaron Rodgers actually enters it or not, we'll see. We all saw his comments after the game yesterday. And, you know, whether that goes to DEFCON 1 and he truly asks for a trade and withholds his services until they give him one, we'll see. Everyone's speculating around the NFL. Very clearly, though, Matthew Stafford is going to be available this offseason, and it's becoming clearer and clearer by the day that Deshaun Watson is probably going to be available this offseason as well. When it comes to Watson, we'll start with him, a report over the weekend in which Schefter and others said it doesn't matter who the Texans hire as their coach. Watson wants out of Houston. It doesn't matter who it is at this point who gets that gig.
I mean, based on the way this is going, are we surprised? I mean, are we surprised that this seems to be – you know, he got to watch firsthand the whole James Harden, you know, as James Harden forced his way out of Houston, and now he's looking at it too, and the Texans are interviewing Leslie Frazier – and David Culley for a second time. So they're searching for a head coach. But in the meantime, Deshaun Watson is planning his exit out of there. He doesn't want to be there anymore.
No, we're not surprised by it at all. And we're certainly not surprised by what's going on with Matthew Stafford. Now, this one's a little more concrete. Over the weekend, it was reported that the Lions are now looking to trade Matthew Stafford. The two sides have mutually agreed he will not be back. And Detroit will begin to listen to trade offers this week. They think, the very least, they'll get a first-round pick, probably more than that. The early teams that have come up, Carolina, Denver, the Bears, the 49ers, teams that also could be into this, Houston, The Colts are a big one. I know that one's gotten a lot of mentions. The Saints, possibly. Washington, possibly as well. Lots of names out there for Matthew Stafford, who I think is a better quarterback than he has the reputation for being, just because he's been surrounded by such junk in Detroit. I think he'd be a really good acquisition for a lot of teams.
Mitch Albom, longtime Detroit sports writer, wrote this in his column. Matthew Stafford is the best player the Detroit Lions have and the most decorated. So when your best and most decorated player comes to you and suggests maybe parting company would be the best thing, you ought to be worried about your team. So I don't know. I mean, he's 32 years old. They don't win. I mean, if you could get something for him and start over, you've got a new guy, you know, handling your draft, and then by all means, I mean, move on. He's got a $33 million cap hit in 2021, but they could save $14 million off the cap whether they trade or release him. Colts, 49ers, Saints, Patriots. I mean, I can see him with the Patriots. Could be teams that are looking at him. You mentioned some of the teams just a second ago. But, yeah, I think, you know, listen, I think he's probably a little bit better than, you know, than Jay Cutler and guys like that. And, I mean, do you like him more than Phillip Rivers? Or is he on the same level as Phillip Rivers? They just don't win. You know, and if you're that great, you figure you're probably going to win more games. I think he's okay. I mean, he's decent. But I put him in that category of all those, you know, average quarterbacks. I don't know that he's a great quarterback, but if he goes somewhere else, maybe he will be.
I know this. If either one, let's throw Rodgers in there for good comparison too. If any of those three quarterbacks end up with the San Francisco 49ers, I believe the San Francisco 49ers will have dramatically improved their roster from last year to this year. I think whichever one it is, Watson, Stafford, Rodgers, if one of them end up with the San Francisco 49ers or even the Rams, as Schefter had mentioned as a possibility with Rodgers when he was talking on Get Up this morning, if Rodgers is indeed moved, that's the kind of thing, in particular Watson, of course, that's the one that I think would scare us all the most as Cardinal fans, is that he would be poised to potentially dominate the division for years, for a decade, perhaps, if he goes to San Francisco. I wouldn't want the 49ers getting any. I'm very comfortable with the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, because I think all three of those guys would be a major upgrade over Jimmy G if they were to acquire any of them.
Yeah, boy, what different ages too, right, when you start to think about it. I mean, Stafford's in the middle at 32. You know, Rodgers is 37. And Watson's, what, 25 or 26, 26 years old? I mean, there's a big difference in the age thing. You know, one guy is really young. He's got his whole career ahead of him. Another's 32 and probably has, you know, 6 or 7 years left. And another one's 37 and, you know, is towards the end of his career. So, you know, there's the three different age categories on these quarterbacks that could be available. Now, we don't know on Rodgers, but we know Watson. It looks like Watson's going to get traded. And Stafford clearly wants out, and the Lions starting over, they should accommodate that. If they can move him and get some picks and start over with their new coach, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, there was a story from one of the San Francisco writers, I think it was the ESPN.com San Francisco writer, who said, man, Watson, Stafford, either one of them would fit just like a glove on the 49ers roster. And at this point, with so many teams needing quarterbacks, and the other thing to think about is, and you mentioned this a second ago, does one of them end up with the New England Patriots? Probably not Watson, and probably not Rodgers, I wouldn't think, but who knows. But like you said, Matthew Stafford in a New England uniform, oh, I could see that. Yeah, I could. But I could also see Stafford in a Colts uniform. I could see Stafford in a lot of different uniforms. I could see a lot of different teams looking at. Whereas Watson's in a unique situation. He's got a full no-trade clause. He can completely dictate where he goes in this conversation. And because of that, there are like some teams like the Jets and Miami that have all these assets to go get him. But if he doesn't want to go there, and says, no, I'm only going to take a trade to this place, or I'm only going to take a trade to that place, then he can control the marketplace for his services maybe a little more than a Stafford can. Stafford just wants to get out. Stafford just wants to go see if the grass is greener on the other side.
Oh, it is.
He plays in Detroit. It probably is. Yeah, it's very much
guaranteed.
Greener.
Guaranteed.
Yes. Wherever you go, the grass is greener over there for a team that has one playoff win since the mid-50s. Yes, the grass is greener somewhere else. But Watson can control this, and no, I'm not going to. At this point, he's going to be somewhere else. I don't know where. I hope it's not in the NFC West. I think he's going to be somewhere else when it's all said and done.
I think so too, and I think that they're going to get a boatload for him. And I think that wherever he goes, you don't want him to come to this to the NFC West. Let him go to the Jets. Let him go to the Dolphins. You know, let him go to one of those organizations that, you know, that would trade a bunch of draft picks and maybe even a quarterback, because they could get Sam Darnold or they could get Tua if they make a deal with the Jets or they make a deal with Miami. Now, they may say to themselves, look, we don't want either one of those guys, you know. Right. We'll make a trade with somebody else, and we'd rather have more picks. So, I mean, the Jets have the second pick in the draft. So, you know, if you're the Texans, could you get 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks? As well as maybe you get Quinn and Williams, and instead of taking, you know, Sam Darnold from them, you draft a quarterback. That you may draft a BYU kid, or you draft somebody else. So I think they're going to trade him, because I think, you know, we've seen it too many times. And when these guys really, really want out, they find a way to get out.
Yes, they do.
Look, I don't like it, but, you know, you think you sign a cop, but, you know, this is what happens. You know, when you're a star player in the league and you're making all that money, and if you don't want to be there, you can make it miserable. And as an organization, I mean, you've got to figure that. Do you really want a miserable guy there? Do you really want this guy? You're getting a divorce, and he doesn't want you anymore. He doesn't want to play for you. He doesn't want to be there. Look at James Harden at the end with the Rockets. Remember how bad those games were?
Of course, yeah.
He was terrible. Course. And then he goes to the Nets, and he's having triple doubles like they're going out of style. 30 points and 15 assists and 12 rebounds. Like, hey, what happened to the guy that just scored 7 points in his last game with the Rockets? Well, he's not happy. He's not going to play for you. You're going to get the same thing with Watson. He's not going to play hard. He doesn't want to be there. So then you bring down your whole organization? Because that guy, the quarterback, the leader, he could bring everybody down. And now you're miserable, and it's hard for the coach to do his job, and it's hard for all the coaches to do his job. And then you've got guys like John Wall. Wasn't John Wall critical of James Harden? Well, when everybody's not on the same page, well, then you've got players going to call out Deshaun Watson. It just makes for a miserable existence if you try to hold on to Deshaun Watson.
When we come back, Patrick Mahomes headed to his second straight Super Bowl, and it really wasn't that tough. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.